Atheist Nomads, episode 168, live from the Streamathon with Al and Astrid from Inciting Incident.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
We are the Atheist Nomads, bringing you history, science, politics, religion, and interviews with leaders in the atheist community. Not all those who wander are lost. Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. We're taking another break this week, so you get the audio from one of the really fun hours during the Streamathon that we did a couple weeks ago, raising money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night Walk. Thanks to the Streamathon, I actually came in 43rd place for most money raised per person, and didn't quite make it to my goal of 666 at $666. And we also helped get the Treasure Valley Coalition of Reason team up to 19th place for the friends and family type teams, the non-corporate teams. So thank you all very much for that, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
Wow, I was going for being drunk throughout the entire time, but buzzed through the entire time, but I think I passed that.
You missed.
And Lauren is trying to put her what's the word for those, Lauren?
Action figures.
Action figures that I knocked over down. They fell down when I was going through them, and they were back. She got
them
back up.
Toys,
she's telling me water, no more beer. We are now joined by Al and his guest,
Astrid,
from Inciting Incident. Welcome to the Streamathon.
Excellent. Thank you for having us. I'm terribly sorry that you thought raising money would help by having us on, so thanks for having us anyway. So how's it been going so far? What, you guys about 6 hours in now?
Five,
yes. We're on our sixth hour raising money for Light the Night at atheistnomads.com/live.
Well, we are more than happy to participate. You know, we're a podcast that not only takes up causes, but supports a lot of them, too. I mean, we support a lot of people on Patreon, and anytime there's some kind of fundraiser, we'll do it. We just did Vulgarity for Charity, and we're happy to help with this. We'll make a contribution.
How did I miss that? Here.
It's part of Noah's stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
I mean, come on. That's
no, that's great. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you just say the
no,
name.
No, sorry. Fucking great.
You just say the name of the thing. You just kind of have to assume that Noah's part of it. Man. So what you guys up to?
What are you doing? Not much right now. Just, you know, we blocked out this time to participate with you guys, and, you know, we're recorded out for several weeks, so we've been doing a few on delay, but, you know, the show's been going really well. We'll have our 60th episode next week, so, you know, not quite as far along as you guys are, but we're getting there.
Sure.
Try your best.
I have just now started for the first time having my episodes planned out, or actually recorded for a few weeks in advance. Never realized how relaxing it was.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, I know.
We used to do ours live, and we also used to do it twice a week. So we would have to plan things around. Oh, God, where's everybody going to be at 7 p.m.? But now, you know, we record in advance. I mean, we went down to see Andrew Torres a couple weeks ago in Baltimore. He met up with us in person, and we recorded two episodes. So I was like, damn, what the hell are we going to do for 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, live production could be like a little bit of a drug in some cases. I mean, just recording day of, got to get, or either live streaming, either at right to the studio or like immediately thereafter, just the minute, at any moment, anything could fucking break at any time. It gets to me. And then when I finally stop being on the air, and like for the first 2 or 3 weeks where we were podcast only, I'm like, am I doing everything right? Like, everything's going so smoothly. Something's got to be wrong. I mean, in my studio at home, I've got a Linksys router up on the wall with a sign on it that says, I took Ask an Atheist off the air.
Yeah, he shamed the router.
I router shame.
It's kind of cute.
We have had so many technical difficulties with our podcast at times that we affectionately call it the Technical Difficulties Podcast. I interviewed Tim O'Neill from History for Atheists, and yeah, we recorded what had to be like a 2-hour interview, and then Google decided they didn't want me to have it and waited 4 hours. It kept saying we're still on live, and we weren't. And then when it finally processed, it took all of 2 minutes and 43 seconds. So we had to re-record. And, you know, that's always easy to schedule with someone from Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I remember one of the first ones we had overseas. This would have been in our teens of episodes. We had an interview with an Australian. My nephew had just OD'd on heroin.
Yeah, that was the episode I did by myself.
Yep. The first one you did like that. Yeah. That was crazy.
Well, you know, I got it handled. She was really cool. And we talked about a sexual thing of mine that I wanted to have one small person standing on the shoulders of another small person.
And also the bombing of Japan.
So, you know, just, you know, you kiss and, you know, get a tight handful of hair there, and then, you know, just get a blowjob at the same time. Yeah.
Wow.
Have any of your people ever asked for that?
Honestly, like, no, I'm a little bit surprised. So you guys probably
are you
don't
a little bit little?
I am, because why would you? But listeners of our show know that I used to be a pro. So it's very, very rare for me to hear a kink that I have not been asked for yet. Thumbs up. Cheers. I salute you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So what kind of pro are you talking about again?
Huh?
What kind of pro are you talking about?
Oh, you said pro. You were a pro.
Yeah, I used to be like a pro dom and an escort.
Oh
nice.
Wow.
I don't consider myself a pro dom, just a dom. I never got paid or anything like that, or nobody ever asked for
it. I am a meat popsicle.
It's funny because, like, in my personal life, I am, like, in my personal sexual life, when I have sex for fun, sure. I'm a total sub. I'm not a dom at all.
Cool.
This way.
And this is, of course, on the rare occasion where you're not asexual.
Yeah.
So.
Having sex for money kind of, like, ruins the appeal of sex a little bit.
Really, I think it'll make it better. Like, I get to do this and get money? Fuck yeah.
You know, I've never seen you weld on your off hours. Putting that out there.
Because I don't have a welding machine.
What if you could combine sex work and welding? That'd be fun.
I would like to try.
Yeah. You could bring a whole new meaning to the term bricklayers, that's for sure.
That sounds like a challenge. I'm going to have to figure this shit out.
Yeah, if you want a bricklayer, that's going to be an extra $25.
$25.
You get a brick in her mouth? What?
I don't know if I could do that. I'm actually quite small.
How small? How short are you?
I am like 5'3.5".
Yeah, okay. You're about
my... You're the tallest woman on our show. What are you talking about?
Touche. Yeah.
How short are you?
Oh, I'm... our other female co-host, Heather, is 4'9" and 80 pounds. She is the tiniest thing.
Wow. Sure.
There's a great picture of us when we met up in person for the first time. It was me, her, and Brian. And then, you know, Brian's about 5'9". I'm 6'3". And then there's Heather. So it looked like the ascent of man height chart, just, you know, slowly going up from the crouching position. It was fantastic.
Nice.
Wow.
The reason we got to know each other was because you were telling me some of those stories, and it was like, this would be fascinating to talk about on a podcast. Yeah. And we did two different times, although you had your awesome roommate on for one of them. But,
fuck you, Carl.
Yes, indeed. There were just so many stories just sitting listening to you talk that I just said, this is phenomenal, and I would have no idea this was a thing. tell one of your classics, please.
Oh, yes, please.
I don't know. What's the topic?
Of your pro stories, you know? Weird things people have asked for, like the kidnapping people.
That story is actually my old roommate's, but...
Who cares? You can take credit for it.
She would lose her shit, but there are actually like quite a lot of people who have fantasies about like getting kidnapped. So me and my friends, like, as a result, just perpetually joking about like agreeing to it, and then they actually do fucking get kidnapped.
Oh, wow.
And they're just going along with it, thinking it's this awesome, sexy thing. I wonder how long it would take for them to realize they're actually in trouble.
There's a screenplay in that.
Right?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, one of our other roommates actually discussed this, you know? You're supposed to be writing this screenplay, sir.
I love it. I will do that. You can picture it, too. Just like the guy going along with everything, being like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. This is kind of hot. And then, like, they're robbing a bank or something. Yeah, I'm just firing blanks. Oh, that's a lot of blood. this is a really detailed fantasy.
Totally going along with it. And I can kind of block the shot already where they're like, yeah, they didn't give in to your demands. So we're going to have to take your pinky finger and shouting the safe word over and over and over again as the meat cleaver and the blowtorch come out.
And if you're watching boom. This, if you're one of the seven, please keep in mind this is an adult streamathon.
Yeah.
Oh, right. We're on a streamathon. Shit.
That's right. We're raising money for leukemia by talking about sex stories. I mean, that's pretty fantastic. They say sex sells.
Leukemia and lymphoma.
Man, if I get a telegraph to my 12-year-old self, dude, just keep doing what you're doing. Everything's fine.
Yeah, a streamathon raising money for cancer, talking about crazy sex stuff. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Honestly, kind of I'm shit. Down for this. For every like $50 donation that goes that gets given while I'm on air, I will tell you a new crazy sex story.
Okay.
Every
$50 that's donated, Alex will take off a piece of clothing.
That sets the bar.
Wouldn't that be because incentive to like ask you guys for money? I mean,
we were just do that. See, all we're giving out
go
is
with the reverse, and like every $50 will just have you put on another piece of clothing.
There we go. That is more logical.
And because all we're giving out is copies of The Story of God from Chris Matheson.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
The dude fucking wrote Bill and Ted's. Like,
yeah.
Co-wrote it. Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of his appearances. I can't wait to read that book.
Well. Donate the top amount and you are guaranteed a copy. First person to $50, which is Meredith, gets a copy. Wait, no, that was Chris Tanner. He gets a copy. And two random people past that get a copy.
So, Astrid, in your experience, have you found that more powerful people in their daily lives like to be manhandled more and treated more like shit?
Yeah, which, like, I personally get. Like, I can totally explain it from a subjective perspective, when you are the type of person that's constantly in control, if you're like just an uptight asshole like I am, like most of my clients were, then you just really want to fucking let go. You want to not have to make decisions and just not be in charge for a little while, because that doesn't fucking happen in your day-to-day life. It just doesn't. So it's like a very extreme version of catharsis to be able to just like surrender control of your fucking body and know everything will be fine. The world's not going to burn to the ground when you do it.
Fair enough. Kind of had that feeling.
Yeah.
I'm donating money right now. What? So you should be too.
Everyone should be
5069, so deal with it. Oh boy. All right.
I am in no way a sex worker, but I've seen some pretty phenomenal things myself. My favorite was the cunt punt incident. I was hanging out with this couple and they took me to like this fetish house without telling me that's where we were going.
Nice.
And outside was this woman almost as tall as me, dressed like an Amazon, having people line up and literally punt her right in the crotch. And she had to be 6 feet, maybe 250. So I mean she wasn't small. And I'm just sitting there looking, going, she'd rip my leg off if I tried to do that, even if she's asking for it. No way. No way. Not going to happen.
6 feet tall on her camisole, knock you to your knees.
That a song?
Cameo.
No.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. So where are you from, Astrid? Because Alex fucking left.
No, I'm right here. I'm just donating.
We're going to start with a goodbye.
I was born near Atlanta, grew up in North Carolina, and then I haven't stayed put for very long since then. Mm-hmm. Been all over the country.
Would you call yourself an actual atheist?
I feel like the term atheism doesn't properly capture how fucking furious I am at just like the concept of God. So like atheist or anti-theist, one of those.
I consider myself both, but a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Atheist, agnostic, secular humanist with hedonistic tendencies.
Yeah.
And, I'm a member of the Satanic Temple also.
That's awesome.
They are the greatest trolls of all time. It's amazing.
No, don't call them a troll. They'll get on your case, man.
I mean that in the most affectionate of ways.
No, I have a feeling you and I might agree on that one. I totally meant it. Like, I was talking to...
the best possible way.
I am so shit at names. For somebody who does a podcast, you think I'd remember fucking names. Lucian Greaves. I was in there, and I said, so is this, you know... I said something like a question about it being a troll, and he goes, we're not trolls. And I go, oh, God, I just... Man, what did I just call you? Yeah, it's for me, trolling is a, you know, early internet trolling is an art form type stuff. It's,
totally.
It's a modest proposal. It's that sort of thing. And that's not what people think anymore. So I've stopped using the term.
I personally embrace the term.
Them's fighting words.
Oh, holy shit. You guys are alive.
Hey. Yeah, hey. I got back. I had to go get some pizza. Okay. Some buy one, get some free pizza.
Fucking hey, A. Yeah. Instant message me a slice of pizza.
Okay.
We got meatballs coming, dude.
Pizza emoticon, pizza send. I got chicken parmesan and bacon and pineapple.
Man, if you guys didn't come back, I was going to start talking about my fet life. So.
Yeah. Don't want that now, do we?
No, actually, we do. I'm interested.
Unless it's duly topical.
Oh, it is. Pretty much all we've been talking about.
Yeah. sex and boning, totally. That's all. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I don't know how Dustin has been doing. He says he's doing good.
All right. Good.
All right. I just donated.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And yeah, now I feel bad. You're like smoking like nothing. I feel bad. I want to make you some juice.
That's so sweet. I'm especially bitter about it because like I was in Seattle like 4 fucking days ago. What? I was having so much fun. I was so stoned the entire fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we got vape pens like within almost arm's reach of just like good quality weed.
Fuck off.
Oh, holy crap, Alec. Al, however you want to go by. I missed the introduction. Al, thank you for being so generous.
Absolutely.
What did you do?
I donated $100.
Holy shit.
We have a new book winner. That's for sure.
Yay!
Really?
I mean, I just donated to a good cause.
That is if nobody else beats that. Oh, good job, Al.
Well, it is his job to make you lose. I mean, you gotta understand how this works.
It's kind of what the goal is.
I just really wanted the book. I won't lie.
And of course, it looks like a cool book.
I'll pay $200 for the book.
And of course, how it goes for me, when you're drinking, you've got the alcohol competing with a chemical in your brain that tells your kidneys to hold underwater. So you get up and you move around, and then you come back and sit down. And it's like, no, it's time to pee. Whoops.
Yeah,
what you want is a trucker catheter. Basically a bag and a rubber band. I can probably figure it out.
Those are two words I've never heard put together before. Interesting.
We call them trucker bombs. When you see a bottle on the side of the highway that's full of yellow liquid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's disgusting.
I mean, I've only drank one a couple times. It didn't taste very good, so...
Yeah.
I actually have friends who are truckers, cool people, and they put it quite nicely. Truck bombs are way, way less disgusting than having a UTI in a truck. So, pick your battles.
Absolutely.
One affects one person, one affects many.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's also relative discomfort, I think, might have. I mean, there's got to be some sort of equation that can be here. It's like a million people get a hangnail, one person gets murdered by a vegetable peeler. I think I'm going to opt for the hangnail.
I would as well.
Murdered by a vegetable peeler?
Yeah.
I was trying to scale up what a hangnail would be like.
I mean, does this happen in the second or the third act of the fake kidnapping? I mean, that has to work in somehow, right?
It's all part of Sam's new play.
Because if this is a real kidnapper, hey, they're not going to do it fast, too. They'll just be like, on the floor, I'm going...
Since you left, none. Yeah,
and, you know, the idiot will still be like, "Oh my god, I didn't know I was into this. This is so hot. I'll never have to shave again."
How long is you work in a scene where
no,
doing some small penis humiliation on the boner? Like, ew, that's so disgusting. Why the fuck are you doing that right now? And it just makes it more hard. it's got to happen.
Yeah, and that has to be part of the peeling, too, because maybe the guy's uncircumcised, so, you know, that's kind of gross. Just
Yeah, just don't go backwards.
Yeah.
That sounds rather unappealing.
For the record, my cringing over here is not at uncircumcised dicks. My cringing is at the idea of circumcising with a vegetable peeler.
Great.
Oh, good disclaimer. No. Good disclaimer. Oh, wow. We were judging you harshly. Now you are forgiven.
So is it weird the fact
I was participating in said judging? For sure.
Is it weird that when doing the streamathon with a pro dom that while waiting for food I sit down and all of a sudden I have to pee?
No, but you do seem to be particularly obsessed with talking about it.
Well, we were talking about trucker bombs, so she telepathically willed you to do it.
That's
part of the process, is mind control. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, definitely.
See? You've been selected, Dustin.
Win the prize.
But I'm not a pro-dom anymore. I've, like, given that up. I don't have the energy for it right now. And the sex worker community as a whole is very, very particular about people who are not currently in the profession claiming the title.
Fair enough.
So I am an ex-pro.
So one thing I heard on the most recent episode of the Savage Love Cast, I think it was the most recent one, it might have been the one before that, was that the whole thing on actually legalizing prostitution and sex work would have the disadvantage of what Mistress Matisse in Seattle, when she went to Nevada and tried it out, she actually had to register with the sheriff's department, which meant that she would actually be on a public document that would be subjected to the Freedom of Information Act.
Yep.
And just decriminalizing would be the best way to handle all of it, not legalizing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another, like, a harsh reality of criminalization is that, like, cops are our worst fucking enemy. And it's not just getting arrested. Like, it's really not. I get that it's a crime. Whatever. Crime is fun. Cops, they have the ability to, like, rape us and get away with it and, like, actually stalk us so that they can catch us in the act and arrest us. Or, I don't know, like, one of my friends was forced to cuddle with a cop, like, all night to avoid getting arrested. Didn't even have sex. The cop just wanted to cuddle.
Wow.
So when you tell a bunch of sex workers, like, hey, so we're going to make this legal. We're just going to have you register with the cops first. Why the fuck would we want that when you can decriminalize it and we can continue, you know, paying our taxes, which is a thing we fucking do. A lot of people think we don't. We can continue paying our taxes without cops terrorizing us.
Well, and one of the other things brought up on that Savage Love episode with Mr. Smasis was that the fact that 60%, some recent year, the sex workers actually were sent to prison when they went to the police to report an actual victim-type crime. And while reporting that, they got arrested and tried and sent to prison.
Just that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a really, really common story. And one of the main reasons why, like, we just don't report crimes. We don't call the cops. It's not worth the risk.
So, while we're having fun there with that story, I do believe you made a promise about donations, and I donated twice the amount requested, so we should get two fantastic stories.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so the first one that comes to mind is a man who I will refer to as Miss Piggy. Now, Miss Piggy... Miss Piggy was not actually my client. Miss Piggy had a sissy kink and was my former roommate's client.
You should probably explain what sissy kink is.
Oh, okay. There are people who are vanilla. That's right. Okay, so sissification. This is going to come off like kink shaming, and it is. Sissification is a fetish for female supremacy. It's basically wanting to experience misogyny to get your rocks off. You are forced to dress like a woman, and then you get told a bunch of, like, misogynistic crap, and that makes you hard.
For a man. A man to go through all that.
For a man. It is a men's kink.
I take it it's mostly the catcalling and the derogatory slut-shaming, not the, yeah, you make 70 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, it's like
institutionalized, like, sexism. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like calling them, like, fat bitches, fat sluts, etc. Telling them they're
shekels for you.
Yeah, like, disgusting whore. You're not good enough to kiss my feet. You're disgusting. Pretty much like all of the shit that like teenage girls like tell themselves in their head when they have low self-esteem, that's what gets these guys off.
Okay.
Right.
I think that's when they've reached the next level of porn interest. Like, you know, when the regular stuff doesn't get to them anymore, they find the stuff that's clearly made for men with women doing that to them. Yeah. So they're trying. I've noticed from a lot of your stories that it's usually men trying to reenact what they've seen in porn as if those are real events.
Yeah, kind of.
And when I said messed up, I meant in a sex positive, if that's your kink and you're doing it consensually, that's just fine kind of way.
Oh, totally. But it's still messed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one. Or did you actually tell the specific
that
story?
That was not a story.
Yeah, that wasn't a story. That was just explaining the kink. So, yeah. All right, Miss Piggy.
So, I am just, like, chilling out in my room, and I receive a text from my roommate. Hey, do you want to come talk shit to this dude for like 10 minutes and you'll receive X amount of money? I was like, sure, why not? So me and our other roommate end up both doing it. We just walk in and I like planned it out in my head. I thought it was so cool. I just like cracked up and I was like, where's the dick at? I thought I was supposed to come in here and humiliate one, but I can't fucking see it. And so
keep going.
So I take my little crop and I just like whip his legs open and I'm acting like I can't find it, and it's just this like fat dude who looks a little bit like my dad did but wearing this like awful like old blonde wig that like hasn't been washed in fucking forever. It was no longer cute to wear, and so we just said, we'll save it for the sissies. And oh my god, I have never in my life seen somebody so happy to be called Miss Piggy. Like, he would legitimately like snort, giggle. Like, it was absurd. But I ended up like flogging his inner thigh so hard that he sharted a little.
Oh my.
And I just left. I was like, dear roomie, this is all you. My 10 minutes are up.
So I have to say, this is the best application to the disclaimer we have at the start of our show, which I will play again.
You know, before you do your second one, I have another one.
Okay.
So that very same night of the cunt punt, it was someone's birthday, and it was either their girlfriend or their mistress, whatever, wanted to surprise them. They strapped him to this board and like made everybody that was in the building come watch. And keep in mind, I had no warning that this is what we were going to do with our Saturday night. So I'm sitting in a house in Baltimore. You know, I know two people out of probably 30. And I'm watching this man get strapped down while two probably 50s-aged mistresses do what they're doing. And it lasts for like a half hour. But then the part that actually made me get up and go, okay, I'm done, is they did what's called figging. for the uninitiated, that is, it involves a ginger root in your ass. And yeah, once I saw that, I said, I'm out. Good game, everybody. I'm done. I will now never be able to unsee that. Thank you very much. I mean, once again, if that's your thing, good for you. I did not consent to see that. I had no interest in seeing that. I felt violated.
And you'll never be able to eat sushi the same again.
That's true.
So, speaking of butt stuff and never being able to look at shit the same way again.
That is my favorite transition of all time.
A phrase I hear a lot. So, when I was, like, first starting out, right, and I was, like, young, probably, like, 18, 19, I was still figuring things out. I really didn't know too much about the business. Pretty much nobody does when they first start. And this to this day, it's still the weirdest thing I've ever put in anyone's ass. A man propositioned me and paid me to put a Nokia phone, like one of those, like not the even a flip bars? Phone. Like the not even bars. Like, yeah, like the old phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it in his ass and just like call it. It's on vibrate.
Yes. I had a hope. I had a hope.
So on the man's ass and just like peed on him for an hour.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, so when I was in high school, we'd go on field trips, and one of the people who would drive, this was one of my classmates' mothers, she would drive and every so often pick up her phone, push a couple buttons, and put it right back into her crotch. And I know I thought, and I'm sure everybody else thought, oh, she's just putting it back down into there for the vibration.
Nope.
Nah. Honestly, like, the amount of vibration that a phone gives off is not enough to be, like,
stimulating
vibration for a clit. It's just not.
No, that's what a Hitachi's for.
Oh, my Hitachi.
AKA my longest and healthiest relationship.
Aww. Those Bravo pagers would really do something to your perineum if you... Because, like, when I was in high school, I had a pager because I didn't have a... I wasn't staying in the same place every week, so I...
And they also had the belt clip, and they just, right.
The school was like, oh, my God, gangs are going to take over the United States and form a political party or something.
Sure.
So we weren't allowed to have a pager, and so I crotched it.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, and then my dad called me in the middle of geometry class. Like, oh, yeah, so! 2X!
So we've already talked about how, at least
that's the best I got,
over the course of the streamathon, when I lost my job, Lauren lost her job just a couple days before. So our relationship progressed quickly, which included her magic wand finding its way down towards my taint. That was weird, but it's not the magic. It's not the Hitachi anymore. It's just the magic wand.
Yeah, the good ones are.
Oh, well, yeah. If you go back and order from a back catalog somewhere.
Magic Wand is a company now that has bought out or spun off to have the rights. Since Hitachi is a serious maker of...
Serious
industrial products.
Massagers.
Yeah.
And it is industrial.
Oh, yeah.
It itched.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Violet Wands will itch a little bit.
I think it's just like when people aren't used to that, like, because it is a very, very powerful vibration. A very powerful vibration, like slapping up against your balls a little bit. I could see why that would feel a little itchy.
Is that why Marky Mark wrote that song? It would explain the happening, I'm just saying.
What? No!
No! I had a chance to work on that movie, and I turned it down. Like, I didn't even know what it was. I just knew it was a Shyamalan movie, and it's like, no.
So I just did that, and Becky's behind me, and she goes, "The Happening?" And she's got, it's like, yep, everybody knows that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Penn Cinema program usually has connections with anybody who's making a movie in Philadelphia, and Shyamalan always makes his movies in the general Philadelphia area. So my cinema studies advisor sent out an email that's like, M. Night Shyamalan is looking for someone to make a documentary of the movie that he's making, and you'll get to go to 30th Street Station and be on a real live film set. It's like, yeah, but it's an M. Night Shyamalan film set. So.
I'm honestly a little surprised that you don't like M. Night Shyamalan, because I've gotten you into Neil Gaiman, and I feel like M. Night Shyamalan's like addiction to plot twists is very, very similar to how Neil
Gaiman could complete a plot twist. Full twist.
Exactly. One of those two people actually completes it.
One of them can actually write.
Fair.
Yeah, the other one in the plot twist is, he was from space the entire time. What does this have to do with an animated movie about gerbils? It's there's a plot twist where there are clues and then it leads to something and then but the Shyamalan plot twist as he went on just was like, oh, by the way,
here's the thing that doesn't need to be in the movie.
Yeah.
The reason why it strikes me as kind of similar is just because with both cases I like am fucking blown out of the water, because I feel like both of them foreshadow a specific plot twist and then just go, nah, fuck that, here's this other completely unrelated shit that you had no idea was coming.
And you couldn't, because we didn't give you any clue whatsoever.
But he does, though, that's the thing. Like,
how far are you in trigger warning?
I haven't started that one yet, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Shyamalan.
Oh, okay.
Like, and because Shyamalan, The Sixth Sense is still a brilliant movie. Like, that plot twist was really well done, but like the reputation of always having a twist went to his head, I think. Because if you look at all the films he's made since then, he's been trying so hard to have that moment of like, he was dead the whole time, but it's been so unsuccessful. I mean, you have Lady in the Water, you have The Happening, you have Devil, and all the other shitty movies that he's made since then, and they just seem to be getting progressively funnier, unintentionally.
I just like to say his name is M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Yes, that's a good one. I enjoy that one, too. But at least Lady in the Water had Paul Giamatti.
Right.
If you take Paul Giamatti and put him in a bad movie, it's even more entertaining, because there's a comedian named James Adomian who does a phenomenal Paul Giamatti impression, and I'll do my best to recapture it. But he says he's always a balding Yale professor whose paper didn't get published. And even in like John Adams, he's like, "Liberty will reign in America." What? Nobody great? Fuck! Son of a bitch! Oh, so I guess I'm going to be the star of Lady in the Water. Yeah, I'm a writer that nobody likes. Par for the fucking course. Then I'm going to go do this movie with Martin Lawrence, and it's going to be really hysterical. He's going to wear a fat suit and, you know, paint himself up. We're going to Cartersville, Georgia for 3 months. Whoop-dee-fucking-do.
It's funny.
You know, though, Paul Giamatti's my favorite movie of his is American Splendor.
Hmm.
I mean, has anybody else seen that?
It's been a while, but I've seen
Harvey Pekar. That was an awesome movie.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I'm not saying Paul Giamatti's bad. I'm just saying he's been in some bad movies, and it's kind of funny to watch him.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's really entertaining when he's in a bad movie. I am completely with you.
And, but he kind of saves it.
When I think of him, I always think of John Dies at the End, and it's just really, really interesting to think of Paul Giamatti as a black man, you know? Wasn't even blackface. Like, I appreciate that. Very, very anti-blackface.
No.
It is an amazing movie.
I don't watch things anymore.
I watched it and then got really confused and have not rewatched it so that I would not be confused.
But Astrid, I just have to give you credit for taking such a moral stance in the year 2016 against the blackface thing. I mean, you are truly a visionary before your time, and I think that deserves to be commended here live on the air. That is phenomenal.
Eat a dick. You know I'm your social justice warrior, fairy godmother.
Of course I am.
Live on Hangouts on Air on YouTube Live, raising money for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, Light the Night.
Yep. And Nokia's up the butthole.
It's that powerful, yes.
That should be our new subtitle.
All right. So was it just the vibrate, or was the vibrate with the Nokia?
I personally asked if it could be both, but he was against it. It was just the vibrate.
Okay. So
hilarious. I really want to know what that ringtone sounds like from inside somebody's rectum.
Right.
Yeah. It's not about that life. He just wanted it on vibrate.
I would want to know if you could see the glow from his, you know, his back.
You could not.
Oh.
Okay, so the new hashtag is hashtag ANLTN, hashtag Nokia up the butthole.
Oh, your mother would be so proud.
I'm on it.
It was Tucker who first pointed out the
Anal Tennessee.
Yeah, that's like, I saw that. I'm like, Anal Tennessee? And I was going to keep it to myself because I don't want to start nothing, but...
Okay. What was the first one? ALT?
AN.
AN.
LTN.
LTN. Got it.
Atheist Nomads Light the Night.
Got it.
And honestly, despite all of this, we still have 7-8 viewers.
Yeah. Are you kidding? It's because of this that we still have 8 viewers.
Yes, that's true. So, okay. Was it Astro?
Astrid.
Okay, so
I sent you a friend request.
With you being a pro dom in the past,
ex pro dom.
When you were a pro dom, considering the fact that you look like a grand total of maybe barely 21 at this point, was the fact that you were like an 18-19 year old pro dom an aspect in people wanting you to dominate them? Not only female, but very, very young.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Sure, anytime.
that's honestly like most of my mark, or that's most of my gimmick. The fact that I look so young, like even when I've got my hooker makeup on, I still like try to pull off the jailbait appeal a little bit. It's fucked up, but yeah, people are really, really, really into the fact that I look young.
It's fucked up, but it pays the bills.
Yeah, pretty much. Morality doesn't pay the bills.
Well, one angle I've heard on this is if we can provide outlets for people who want jailbait or lower, and that keeps them from actually taking advantage of people who are actually jailbait or lower. Is that wrong? Or is that good?
How can I phrase this properly? People frequently think of sex workers as an outlet for people who society's like, hey, you're fucked up. And I'm not a fan. Like, I actually frequently hear it from SWRFs. And for those who didn't listen to the SWRF and TERF episode of our show, a SWRF is a sex worker exclusive radical feminist. Pretty much they're just feminists who think we've like betrayed our gender and are supporting patriarchy. A lot of people even will go as far as to think that we are providing a service as an outlet to like rapists and shit. So like anytime somebody wants us to be an outlet for people society has cast away, I'm just like, no. Most of the time when people hire sex workers, it's because they're really bad kissers. That's it.
Okay.
They have self-esteem issues or self-confidence issues, and they just feel like it's their only way.
Honestly, like, the vast majority of my clients are old men, mostly veterans, who, like, picked up the habit while they were serving and just kept up with it. Most of them widowers. The one thing that, like, really connects all of them, though, because, like, some of them are attractive, some of them are charming, whatever. A couple of them are actually pretty funny. The one thing that connects them all is that they're awful kissers, and I think that's why they end up trying to purchase sex. It's because, like, even when they do manage to find somebody who's into them, they'll just, like, try to swallow the partner's face, and they freak out and run away.
But these aren't the kind of guys that people would think of as Johns.
No, not usually.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah. Bad kissers. All right.
They're all awful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Absolutely.
So, this is the moment in an interview where I'd suggest that we plug your podcast.
Oh, of course.
Thank you, Sam.
We were talking about Nokia's up the butthole.
Which, if you wanted a new podcast, that's the perfect name.
I'm keeping that for a band name.
Unless you wanted it on iTunes.
That should be a thing at some point.
That's just going to be like me getting stoned and complaining about things.
I'll
for it in the future.
I'll subscribe. We are the Inciting Incident Podcast. There's, you know, you're regularly on it. I'm always on it. I'm the primary host. Yeah. Brian's on it pretty regularly. He had other plans tonight. And then we have Heather, Tony, and a couple other people who contribute here and there. We can be found at incitingincident.libsyn.com. or any of the podcast apps, the iPhone one, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, the whole bit. And, yeah, I'm also a writer on lordsofpain.net, and I'm also writing my sixth book on Patreon as well, which has been a unique experience. I thought it'd be fun to write a book chapter by chapter and have the patrons, like, give feedback as the book goes along rather than selling it once it's done. So that's been fun, too.
That's awesome.
Al, you recently got married, too, right?
Yep. A month ago. What's today? A little over a month ago.
Yeah. So to continue the plug, if you've ever wanted to have your name featured in a book, if you've ever like wanted to be a character in a book, that is actually a reward for supporting his novel on Patreon. Check it out.
Thank you.
Well, if you ever want to put a Wesley in there for the hell of it, just put it out there.
That's what he named the phone.
Yes.
Yes. Wesley the Nokia.
So what were you doing in Seattle anyways? Never said.
I was getting laid and seeing if I liked it there as much as I think I would. And I do. That place is like my fucking like personal paradise. I want to move out there. Yep. Fucking love Seattle. Love Washington.
You guys can move it out. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. And I was mostly getting laid. Yeah. That was the majority of the trip.
Well, I'll tell you what, stoned to getting laid. Yep. You guys come out sometime, we will take you to a place and have a buffalo lick your face as you're trying to squirm away.
Squim.
That's not a euphemism.
That's really not a euphemism.
It's a place called Squim, a desert on the Olympic Peninsula.
You can see Canada from like the water's edge.
All right, Sarah Palin.
Fuck yeah.
You can see.
I didn't say Russia. I said Canada, goddammit.
You can see Canada and it gets 10 inches of rain a year. It's this weird rain shadow spot with a bunch of awesome animals, and you can touch yaks and buffalo.
That sounds fucking phenomenal. I'll definitely be trying to head back to Seattle soon, you know, for more, like, BDSM and weed. So I'll definitely hit you guys up while I'm out there.
Well, I sent you a friend request, so let's chat.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Anyways,
And there's awesome. Becky.
Y'all are all right. Yeah, we got fucking. Well,
they have Becky's real girlfriends.
She is behind you.
Yeah.
Nice job.
You want me on?
You want to tag in?
I'm dressed in my t-shirt.
That's awesome. It's awfully cute. The apple seeds are awesome.
Hi, Becky.
Oh my god, there that's the cutest sweater ever.
Tapping out. Bye, boy, boy,
boy. Bye.
Boy, boy.
Oh, I don't think we pointed it out recently. This is,
got some apple.
Yeah, this is his booze dispenser.
That's just crazy.
It works. Yeah. Good for shots.
Apple pie
moonshot. Oh, God! Ah! The end of the world! Oh, sorry.
Isn't that the top of the hour?
Yeah, it's so perky, end of the world.
Hi, Becky.
Okay, so Inciting Incident, thank you very much for joining us. We are at the end of your hour, so thank you very much. You don't have to leave, but you are no longer the focus of attention.
<That's> fine, you're going to say, you can't stay here.
I got food, so
we've got to go eat so that we can try to get drunker than you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay.
That'll take some doing if.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.